Please be seated. I hope you don't mind if I preach from here, because I want to most especially this morning speak to the young people who are receiving this sacrament. So if you like the rest of the congregation, I invite you to listen in to this conversation that I have with them. Of course, you may be quite tired this morning, so if you fall asleep, I'll quite understand. You should only get worried if I fall asleep while I'm speaking. But most especially, I think, I want to talk to you about being a saint. Because each of you has chosen a particular saint's name. And on the day of your confirmation, it's not the name you were given at birth that you're signed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you're sealed with that gift and given a new name. And so there's a particular saint that you're choosing that you want to emulate. And the three that you've chosen are very beautiful saints: St. Francis, St. Christopher, and St. Teresa. So you want to emulate and copy those saints. But I want to share with you this morning my experience of a living saint that I met in my own lifetime. And it's especially important that we call him to mind, because just in this last week, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, in a great ceremony last Sunday, declared two new saints for the life of the Church: Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II. Now, some of the more senior members here may well remember the example of good Pope John, as he was called, John the 23rd. But I want to share with you just two experiences I had of being in the presence of now Saint John Paul. So a great grace. But the first of them, I'm afraid, went over my head. It was when I was a young man of 19, and John Paul came on pastoral visit to this country, and there was a very large gathering in Wembley Stadium, not for a football match or for a rock concert, but in order that Pope John Paul could celebrate Mass with about 80,000 people. And I had the opportunity to be there on the pitch with about 25, 30,000 others. But I'm afraid I didn't really take much notice of him and what was happening, the fact that we were celebrating Mass. I'm afraid I was caught up in the event, the kind of drama of it all and the magnitude of it all and the wonder of all these kind of thousands of people. So I was a bit like a spectator as a young man at this experience of this future saint celebrating Mass. And years afterwards, I remember reflecting on that experience and having the feeling, and I don't know if you've ever had this in life, that something has happened and I've missed it, even though I was there. And so I kind of made a secret vow or promise that if I ever had that opportunity again, I would kind of be more focused, more aware of what was taking place, and most especially, I suppose, the sense of God in it. And that happened about 7 years later, when I was then studying for the priesthood, and I went to Rome because there were some new saints being made, and some of them were from England, from Scotland, and from Ireland. So many people went from these islands to this ceremony. And purely by providence, I had the opportunity to serve at the Mass that Pope John Paul was celebrating. And when you do that, you have to be there for about 3 hours beforehand, just so you can get ready. And we were all shown into a little chapel and asked to wait there. And this, about an hour before, Pope John Paul came in and he knelt at the front, and he stayed there for a full hour before Mass. And this was his preparation for what he was going to do. And that really struck me. And I had this experience of wanting now not just to be an observer, but to be caught up in what he was doing. Not only in his prayer before Mass, but also then when we celebrated Mass, when he celebrated Mass. That, if you like, I wasn't looking so much at him and everybody else that was there, but looking in the direction that he was looking, which of course was to God, to praise God, to thank God, to ask God for his help. What takes place for each of you today on this, the day of the sacrament of confirmation, is that you move from being an observer to being a participant. You go through that kind of change through this sacrament. You've been interested in experiencing the Catholic Church, perhaps within your family, perhaps through the friends that you've seen, maybe through what you've read or what you've witnessed in the life of the Church. But now there comes a deepening within you, and you ask for the gift of God's Spirit in order not just to be able to observe it, but to be caught up in it, for it to change you, for it to help shape you, for it to guide you in your life in the future. And there's one particular moment in what takes place today where you will see that I pray over you with my hands like this, calling down the Spirit of God upon each of you. That's an action which the priest does at every Mass, at the moment of the consecration, we call it, when we call God's Spirit to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of the Lord. And so when I do that at confirmation, what we're doing, and all of us praying for you as I do that, is we're calling down the Spirit of God to enter each of your hearts to change you. Because that's what happens in confirmation. The Spirit of God enters your heart and he gives you the strength not just to observe, but now to participate, to be a full member of his body, the Church. And that means also sharing it with those around you. This is the change which takes place on the road to Emmaus with those disciples. They were perhaps observers before. They'd heard about Jesus' death. They'd even heard the stories about his resurrection. But it all seemed out there and far away. They were observing what was taking place. And then Jesus comes and walks beside them, and he instructs them and guides them, and then he shares himself with them in the bread and the wine, and then they think, ah, it's him. And they change from being just observers to now being fully participants. And he then never leaves them, even though he kind of disappears, it says in the Gospel. We're aware in faith the Lord never leaves us. So on this day that you're confirmed, I want you to remember that Jesus will never, ever depart from you. Whatever you go through in life, whatever you experience, he will always walk beside you, and he will always be there to give you his guidance. And always remember this truth, which is true of all of us, that we move from being simply observers to being deeper participants in the life of God.